Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So this situation with Yoho and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, just bizarre. I mean, just really, really kind of bizarre if you stop and think about it. She is refusing to accept his apology, and I don't blame her. If you looked at his statement, which was just stupid, you know, I'm not going to apologize for my passions. Just plain flat ridiculous. But you know, it just shows how polarized we've become as a country. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, you know, the apology or unapology and all of the stuff going on. I've asked our good friend Bob Ney to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So you served a lot of years in Congress. Is this scenario, Yoho calling her, you know, the B word, is this unusual for congressional people?
Well, you know, I've seen somebody break somebody's finger one time. I'm not so sure it was, intentional. They were having an argument in the back of the chamber. And I've seen a few things, but I just think that during my time there, nothing got to this point. Once in a while you might have something, but, I mean, this is just, you know, with using the vulgarity. He may not like her, and he can call her, you know, unintelligent, dumb, whatever he wants to call her. But when you get into, you know, what he said, it's just, no, I think this is starting into some new lows. I don't think it was that bad when I was there.
Yeah, because, you know, I'll be honest, I had thought maybe it was. Maybe because, you know, you had the Gingrich people coming in, and there was that whole wave of, we're gonna upset the, you know, the apple cart. But you're saying none of that. Okay.
Well, I mean, we would have incidences where, you know, one time a congressman from Florida said something very offensive about the president. Not a curse word, but a British word. It's not really good. And we actually voted to take his words down, you know. We did that. And right. He wouldn't apologize, so we didn't let him speak. And he was a Republican. This level, I mean, it's just... once in a while you have something, but I think that this is, it's just gone to new heights, I guess.
No, it's below the institution, but again, you know, this is the weird moment we're in. Not surprised.
Right. Oh, yeah, I think anything goes. I mean, in today's world, you can say some things some people may take offensive, and I might even argue that, you know, they're not offensive things, it's people's opinion.
Right.
But when you use offensive words, then that's different. You know, it's something he shouldn't have done.
Yeah, not so much in the way of civility.
Right.
You can disagree, but you know, this is the next step. Ohio, your home state. Oh, yeah. What's going on?
Well, this is fascinating, and you know, I was looking how much national attention is this getting. It's getting some. This is bigger. This is bigger than what people are seeing, and it's going to get bigger. And in a nutshell, the Speaker of the House, Larry Householder, who, by the way, started out as a county commissioner in my congressional seat. I've known him since that period of time. And he went out under a cloud last time. The FBI was taking a look at him and a few people, but nothing ever happened. And then he came back and ran for state rep again in Perry County. And then he decided to become Speaker. You know, Ohio has term limits, so people come in and out, and he decided to become Speaker. Well, then, this is the big key. I think this is the real interesting part of the story. Matt Borges, who was chairman of the Ohio Republican Party and a lobbyist, he was a lobbyist for First Energy Corporation in Akron, Ohio, and First Energy had some loser nuclear plants, right?
Right.
So they wanted a $1 billion bailout, you know, billion-plus bailout. So Matt Borges, their lobbyist, teamed up and they created a $61 million fund from First Energy into an account called GEN. And then Matt Borges took it a whole new level and actually threatened to blow somebody up, is what he ended up doing. So what happened was that Householder became Speaker using this $61 million slush fund. became speaker. And by the way, it was a 501c4, a charity account. All right? So everything I'm about to tell you doesn't fit into the charity account.
Right.
And then they used the money for him to become speaker. They dished the money out, not in contributions, but in ads for members and said, hey, vote for me. They even got some Democratic members to support Householder because he had some Republican opposition, which has happened before in Ohio's history, you know. And then after he got elected, they took the account and they used it for another purpose because they passed the bill, the bailout, and, of course, legislators owed him for him getting them elected. They passed the bill, and then a ballot petition came up. And when the ballot petition came up, they needed signatures to go to the ballot to say this is a bad bill. You know the process that happens in states. That's when Borges stepped in, and Borges, again, tried to bribe the head of the program that was trying to collect the signatures, and he said, I promise this will be worth your while. And then he said, I'm going to blow you up if it ever gets out about the payments. So they used the money. Then they used the money to take signature collectors and give them cash and fly them out of Ohio, give them $2,500 to leave Ohio. And it worked in some of the cases. So now this has been exposed. Matt Borges was Kasich, John Kasich's right-hand everything. And when Kasich left and Trump got elected, they purged Borges out of the position of the chair of the Ohio Republican Party. So, you know, he's a lobbyist. He's Kasich's right-hand guy. And the reason I mention that, I would be shocked now if the Democratic National Committee will allow John Kasich. And John Kasich has nothing to do with that $61 million fund, but he's connected to Borges. And I would really be surprised if, just due to that, that Kasich is allowed to speak at the convention.
He shouldn't be allowed to speak anyway. I mean, take his endorsement if you have to, but I just don't think he should be allowed to speak anyway. So,
And the big part of this, Rick, is that this is going to rock the Republican Party in Ohio. This is going to get uglier before the election. And this is just another, you know, another something that nobody dreamed was going to happen. A $61 million, you know. I got in trouble over a trip difference of $7,000 in reporting, right?
Yeah.
This is a lot of people. They've got 4 to 5 indictments right now and more to come, and it's going to go through the legislature. This could literally blow the Republican Party up. And, of course, Ohio is a key state for Trump.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but isn't that what they said about the coins? Wasn't there a whole coin scandal that went on? And
Coingate.
There was a whole bunch of, you know, scandal. I mean, you know, the Ohio House there, you know, they're not immune from scandal. It seems like there's a lot of it.
Right. It's happened over the years and different ones. This one's the largest in Ohio history. And again, I know everybody's innocent until, you know, proven guilty. I did want to mention the reason, you know, they came out, you know, like, for example, my case and others, we weren't, you know, a lot of people aren't indicted. They will plea or could be indicted. The Justice Department came out swinging and said, hi, here's the 5 people we're indicting today. And they have 2 years worth of wiretaps.
Wow.
2 years worth of wiretaps. So they're pretty sure. You know, when you come out with the indictment versus, you know, trying to interview them and depose them and things, and you come out right with the indictment, then usually the government's, you know, pretty sure of itself.
Yeah, they got their case. So let me go back to the $1 billion then, because, you know, here's my problem. You know, Pennsylvania, they tried to do the same thing because we've got Three Mile Island. There was a, you know, whole bailout effort, you know, that was trying to go through our General Assembly as well. It failed. I kind of hope that the governor had it passed, would have done away with it anyway. But, you know, I'm starting to go, you know, could that have been something that went on here or in places like New York where they got a bailout? And I think Illinois got one as well. You know, how pervasive could this scheme, how good big can it have gotten?
Well, I mean, it could have. And this one, I mean, this happened over a period of 3 years. And I think due to a tip of one of the people that were, you know, head of the signature program that caught on, I think that's the only way they found it. So, you know, you never know. I mean, a lot of things could go down and accounts created. And this raises another point, because you make a great point. How long are we going to allow for entities to be created, charity or not, like a 501c4, where you don't have to tell whose money's in there? I mean, how long do we want to do that, you know, as a country?
Yeah,
and that's what happened. So there could be these funds all over the country. You're right.
Exactly. I hope they go to jail, and I hope it's for a very long time. And maybe it sends a message, maybe it doesn't. But the reality is, when you're talking that kind of cash, it could make a lot of people interested in moving on. But we'll see. But for me, do they not get that bailout money back? Is there a way of clawing that back, or is it just gone?
Well, Mike DeWine has called for Householder, the Speaker, to step down. And the next thing that's going to be very fascinating is what Governor DeWine will take as a position, which is starting to brew up, obviously, of people saying, all right, this was passed under the worst conditions, passed under fraud. Taxpayers are paying for this. Immediately cancel the bill, undo the bill, you know, as an act of the legislature. So potentially, Rick, this could go back and be undone.
Yeah, I think it could.
And should.
Absolutely. Speaking of Ohio and DeWine, evidently today the news came out that starting, I guess, Thursday, there's going to be a mask mandate in Ohio as Ohio saw a record new number of coronavirus cases. The mask, mandate will be for anyone over 10 years old. I guess there'll be some exemptions if you have a medical conditions, if you're playing sports, or if you're speaking at a religious ceremony.
Yes.
Those are the exemptions. Everybody else, got to wear a mask.
Got to wear a mask. I had a friend of mine call me up tonight. He said, I am not going to wear a mask. And what can happen to me? I said, well, you could get a fine, arrested. You know. He said, well, I don't care. And I said, well, there's a problem, though. You're not going to be allowed in any business if you don't have a mask. They will turn you away.
Right.
You know, if you don't have a mask.
Now, there going to be fines? Or, I mean, are there teeth here? Because, look, here in Pennsylvania, we got the same thing. If you're outside, you're supposed to have a mask on. That's what our governor said. But there are no teeth here.
Yeah, well, there's technically teeth to it, you know, with a fine. There's technically teeth. But here's the point. Will it be enforced?
Right.
You know, will authorities take the time, police take the time to do it? I mean, they've got a lot of other things to do, too. And so how do you enforce this? I think probably, though, if businesses allow, and this has happened in Ohio already, businesses allow people in and they're supposed to have a mask, then the businesses are getting fined. And, of course, that's one way to, you know, try to...
Let the fun begin. More shootings at Walmarts and more women going pee in the lobby of Verizon.
Right. This is bizarre. I mean, the whole time. And, of course, you know, we were doing a mixed match. You know, some counties had a mask, some counties didn't have a mask. Now, there's also a not mandated, but if you're coming back from 6 or 7 different states, including Florida... then you are supposed to self-quarantine in Ohio, but it's not mandated. It's requested.
Kind of taking like a minimal ground from New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey then.
Right.
I get it. All right. I want to get your thoughts real quick on today in Trump. For or against the idea of sending in, you know, these, I don't know what they are, DEA, Homeland Security, AFT, into Chicago, thoughts?
I'm against it, and I think a lot of people will be against it because of the fact that, you know, if it's requested and you have a mayor that asks for help, it's happened before. It happened during the civil rights cases. It happened during the 70s, if they have a request. But to send them in, I mean, our own military has disagreed with this. Our own military leaders have disagreed with this approach. I mean, why do it? And the other thing is, you can't pick out blue cities, you know, and say, well, that's the one I'm going to go into. I mean, who really wants to do that? That is a not even a veiled threat. I mean, it's an outward threat, and it shouldn't be done. If they're requested to go in, fine. And I think a lot of people are going to be on the Republican side. I'll speak for the Republican side. I think are going to be, frankly, quite nervous about this. Because a lot of people, Republicans included, when polled, are not for this. This is not a law and order thing. This is the Fed saying, we're going to do this in your city, whether you request us or not.
Yeah, and to me, you know, the Republican Party, and of which you used to be a member, they used to believe in states' rights. This seems like usurping the right of the states.
Right. And traditionally, a lot of Republicans frankly, that I've known over the years, they really kind of don't like the idea of the federal government a lot, you know?
Right.
Period.
It's just amazing to me. But my view is this is about changing the narrative away from the virus and how deadly it is, and getting us focused solely on race and really changing it. And then setting up for November, where you can put these uniformed people out in front of polling places, in my view, to intimidate the vote. But that's a little more conspiracy than I'm sure you want to take on.
Well, one thing I will say is that, you know, when the protests happened and there was some violence, there was some traction starting of people starting to have fear. You know, would there be some burning? Would there be in their town? Then there were the rumors they were coming to the rural areas. We had a rumor down in Belmont County where they asked for everything to be locked down because people in force were coming in buses, you know, which never happened, by the way.
Antifa was coming. That happened here. You know, one of the greatest things I've ever seen. A guy, you know, people with their Confederate flags and their sidearms, they went to Gettysburg to defend the Confederate soldiers' graves from Antifa, who were going to come and burn American flags on the Confederate soldiers' graves.
Right.
And you go, but this is Gettysburg. There isn't one Confederate flag. There isn't one Confederate soldier buried in Gettysburg.
Right. We had the same thing. And at that time, that started to work of people saying, oh, you know, Trump's for law and order, and this is going to get crazy, blah, blah, blah. Well, that all calmed down, and people didn't come into areas, et cetera. So now, this is sort of like, as you said, it's a creation of, we got to go in because there's a problem. I don't think people are going to buy it.
Yeah. And finally,
I don't think the fear factor's there.
And finally, since we're talking about chaos and causing more problems, I'm curious of your thoughts on the Trump administration wanting the Chinese to close their Houston consulate, and also the fact that they're accusing two Chinese hackers of vaccine data theft, seeking to arrest them. Any thoughts on this escalation going on with China?
Well, yes, I'm biased on this one. Whoever would be the president, anything you can do, if you catch China on something, do it.
Right.
I mean, I'm one of those people, you know, I remember they were trying to get our seaports, and we would all, you know, not all of us, but a lot of us would fight against it, et cetera. And so I think on this one, if they're stealing intellectual property rights, there was the two hackers, because China's going to retaliate on us. They actually threw some of our reporters out, you know, from the Wall Street Journal and some other, I don't know if they threw CNN out, but they threw some reporters out. So I'm kind of expecting this back and forth. And with China, I think you do have to stand at them a little bit. And, of course, they'll retaliate with us. So, yeah, anything like this, if they deserve it, I'm kind of on the side of don't take anything from China.
No, I'm right there with you. But, you know, I guess the question then becomes, you know, have we begun the next Cold War?
Well, I mean, that's very possible. I think at some point in time, the Trump administration thought they would have a deal by now. And I think that you're seeing, even if China deserves what just happened, I'll give the best example. They've been mingling in Tibet since 1959. And the Dalai Lama actually was not invited to the White House when Trump became president right away, which was the first time, right, in a long time. And now we're all over Tibet. Pompeo, Secretary of State, said that we're going to, you know, they're doing stuff to Tibet. We're going to ban Chinese. Well, you know, where have they been for, you know, 3.5 years, you know? So what you're seeing is the buildup of the Joe Biden loves Beijing campaign. So, you know, even if they were going to do some things, they're going to put it on steroids now because they're going to try to change the narrative from everything else, the fact that, you know, Joe Biden, quote, lives in Beijing. I mean, that's what they're going to try to do in their ads and everything else. That's why you're seeing more aggressive policy.
I agree with you. Bob, as always, great stuff. I appreciate the time. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney. Love to hear your thoughts. Are we in the midst of the next Cold War? It's been coming for a while. Yeah, I think so. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.